Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
You are a living fountain. Wherever you are in the community, in the business world, anywhere you are in the neighborhood, in your home, you're the living fountain. His love, His Spirit, His mercy flows through you. As His Spirit comes upon you and moves in and through your life, you become a part of that that helps to sustain others around you. If they will draw in and you get them to the fountain, you don't get them dependent on you. If you're getting people dependent on you, you're in sin. You've already made a great error. That's not your design. Your design is to point to Jesus Christ and get people to the fountain of living water, which is the person of Jesus Christ. That's God Himself is the fountain of living water. That's the whole objective. Get them back to God. Get them back to God. Come back to God. Trust in God. Hasn't God been faithful? Has God been faithful to the United States? I'd say yes. God's been faithful to the United States. What happened right immediately after 9/11, all of a sudden, prayer rooms are opened up, pray in school, whatever you need to do. Yeah, pray, prayer, 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 prayer. It's all okay again. We come back to God for that brief period of time, and it was all okay. It was accepted. It was needed. It was seen as right, you know? But how quickly we've turned 10 years later, like, yeah, no, we don't need that. No, we don't need that. Unless you're of other faiths. Then we can shut down streets and stuff and to have them pray. But hey, what's it coming down to? I'm just saying, man, I'm going to trust in the living fountain. I'm going to trust in the Lord. This idea, as we see, this is where they ended up at with their thoughts. They were wanting to trust in something other than God Himself. It wasn't good enough for them. And they said, no, we want a king that's going to reign over us. When the Lord, your God, was king, I don't understand why wasn't God good enough? Verse 13 of chapter 12 of 1 Samuel. Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and take note, the Lord has set a king over you. Take note, the Lord's done this. He's done what you've asked. Again, what did we start off with? Man, I want to preface thing with, your will be done, not my will, your will be done. I want to trust God. I want to trust in the living fountain, not in me. You see what I'm saying? That's so important. If you fear the Lord and serve Him, Samuel says, and obey His voice, and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, even though this is kind of goofy what you're doing, even though you've gone and done this other king thing, and I don't think it's the best godly choice. He says, but God is faithful, God is gracious, God is merciful. And even though you've done this, He says, hey, look it, man. If you fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. He says, if you do that, God's going to be with you. It's going to be basically okay. It may not be perfect, but it's going to be okay. Look at what happens though. However comes in verse 15. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. The hand of God is going to bring discipline and chastening upon His people because He loves them, because He wants to bring them back to a place of recognition of their need to be dependent on Him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, or read the whole chapter. That'll give you good insight into how that plays out. That discipline, godly discipline, and if we're trained by it, it produces the fruit of righteousness within our lives. If we have been trained by it, there's value in allowing God to train us by it. So if you trust in God, He is going to be gracious toward you. Now, this is normally a dry season. It's the season of harvest over there. It's normally very, very dry. Notice what verse 16 says. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. He says, trust me in what I'm saying because God is God. That's what he's telling the people. Trust me, God is God. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and He will send thunder and rain that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourselves. He says, I'm going to show this to you, and you're going to see that, yeah, you're missing this, the mark on this. And to heed what he's saying. The whole point of doing all this is not to freak anybody out necessarily or anything, but for them to acknowledge, wow, okay, maybe this wasn't the wisest thing to do, but we can still choose to follow the Lord and to stay close with the Lord and move and operate in his grace and his mercy, which would be the wise choice in this situation, obviously. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. They actually acknowledged and realized, oh my goodness, even though we've missed it, even though he's telling us if we will submit ourselves to the rule of the Lord, and that their choice, this is what's so important for you and me as believers today, that your choice, whatever it is, it affects you. He proved out, though, what he was trying to show them is it doesn't change. You want to go do this over here doesn't change that God's still God and that he still rules and reigns and is sovereign over all this earth. Yeah, you can go do that, but God's still going to be God. And what God says is still going to go, and God's still sovereign and God still rules and reigns. That's radical, powerful. I mean, what a word picture to be shown out and to watch play out, you know, for him to say it like that and to see it. So that's why he was doing it, so that they could see that. Now, verse 19, great response. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. I mean, they realized, wow. For we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. We have totally missed it. Is what he's saying. We just, haven't you ever been plodding along in your Christian journey and you're going along and everything seems like you're plodding along, everything's going pretty okay, and you're cruising along, walking with the Lord, and then all of a sudden you realize, wow, I made a right turn and I was supposed to go straight in that situation. And you realize, ooh, my. I know God still loves me. I know God's heart's for me, but I somehow didn't see the road sign and I should have kept going straight and I made a right turn. Anybody else experienced that? I've experienced that more than once. It's a difficult situation, and you realize, and it's part of it's a wonderful thing. It's the one I always take it is, whew, thank you, Lord, that you love me and your spirit is with me and that you're revealing that to me and I'm not keep driving down that wrong direction. Thank you, God, for your loving correction and the work of your spirit. Why do we so selfishly and foolishly beat ourselves and go into some bad dog mode? God knows you're a bad deal. But see, you don't think that about you. You don't think you're a bad deal. You go and you want to punish yourself because you're some bad deal. No, God knew you're a bad deal. You're a bad deal. It's okay. It's okay. God knows your righteousness stinks. It's no good before him. He's looking way past you to his son. Oh, man. When he looks into the eyes of his son, he also sees you. Because you're in him. That's wonderful. That's a blessing to know. And so as we see in this, as this plays out for us in front of us, it says, pray for us, man. We've multiplied our problem by making a bad decision with this. I like this, that they asked Samuel to pray. They asked Samuel to pray. And why would they ask Samuel to pray? They know he's a man of prayer. You know how he got into the role that he has? He is an absolute byproduct, isn't he, of prayer. His mom prayed for him to even be a part of their lives. I mean, he's a byproduct of prayer, 100%, right? And then not only is he a byproduct of that prayer, but where does he end up spending his life? In a place of prayer. He hangs out and just serves the Lord, serves in the temple. He's in that born from it, lives in it, and reveals in chapter 7, when you look back, you see he proves out how victorious as they come against the Philistines and they pray. They asked Samuel to pray and he prayed and he showed them that the victory was wrought in their journey with God through prayer. This is all stuff that's applicable to us. We are all the byproduct of somebody's intercessory prayer. We were born into the kingdom because somebody was praying for you. Isn't that great to know? You were born into the kingdom because somebody was praying for you.
You and I, we're just like Samuel. And then we get together like this and we're hanging out in the place of prayer. We're supposed to have a mindset. Pray without ceasing, Paul said. Be in that, stay in that place of prayer. Prayer is that direct communication that we have with the Father in his Son, through his Son, in the realm of the Spirit. It's a direct line of communication that we all can stay in that place of prayer. And then we also all know that really the victory is going to be wrought through prayer. Those are great things, just kind of tuck away and say, you know, I'm kind of like Samuel. So when someone asks you, hey, will you pray for me? Even if they're heathen, I tell them I'm going to pray for them. Hey, I know it may not mean much to you, but I want you to know I'm going to pray for you. I let them know. I'm going to pray for you. And Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. So he's acknowledging that. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. It's okay. So you're a sinner. But God's grace is greater than that. Walk in his goodness. That's okay, good, you've acknowledged it, but you gotta keep, see, he doesn't say, oh yeah, have a pity party for yourself, feel sorry, bad dog yourself, whip yourself because you're an idiot, you know, oh, so what? God knew that. We're the only ones that are having problems with it. It's us, it's our own pride, it's our own human nature. God doesn't have a problem with that. Man, they just need to humble themselves, just stay in that place, keep serving the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside. For then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. He says, don't turn aside to these other gods. Don't look to all the human ideas and answers for your problems. Don't do it. Don't turn aside to that. Look to God. Trust in God. God can fix those things. God can do the work. Do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. I don't think it could be spelled out. I think there's no comments on that. Right? It's just, now, what can you add to that in commentary? That's pretty straightforward. Verse 22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Do you realize that you were born into the kingdom because God revealed himself to you and because God chose you? The Bible says that God chose you. He chose me. He chose us. He wants you to be a part of his family. And isn't it great to know that you're called by his name, Christian? For the Lord will not forsake his people. He's not going to turn away from his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. God is pleased to call you his child. God's not ashamed of you, and he's not ashamed of me. Satan sits on your shoulder and whispers in the ear, you are an idiot. You're just a nothing sinner, and he's always trying to vibe every one of us and pull us down. He's the accuser, the Bible says, of the brethren. You know, read in Romans where the dialogue goes back and forth. Well, who is it that really is it? You know, is it I? You know, it's not the Lord. The Lord doesn't have an accusation against you. The Lord's not sitting around. The Lord, he dismissed the people. He says, look, woman, I don't have a rock pile. I'm not here to stone you. Go, sin no more. Enjoy the newness of life. Move on, you know? Isn't that great to know that God looks at you? Just move on. You don't have to feel, just move on. Oh, it's so great. He loves you, he has a purpose for you. Notice verse 23, moreover, as for me, far be it from me. This is back to the verse 19, pray for your servants. He says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He says, man, I wouldn't enter in to prayerlessness, because then I would be in violation of my relationship with God. I'm not going to do that. Do you realize that a lack of relationship with God through prayer is really a statement of pretty much foolishness and pride? And it's really making that statement of that, hey, we don't need you. I can do this without my connection to you. It's also a very large statement of selfishness. It really puts things up in this area of I'm not interested in praying for that other person or their needs. I'm just not going to. This is the thing. Those people, why pray for your enemies? A lot of reasons, and we're going to talk about it quickly tonight, but one of the things is that's something you can do. Remember when I said, and people say, well, just would you take me off your prayer list? I don't want you praying for me anymore. You know, no, I can't do that. And they can't stop you from that. You see, for this reason, God's purposed it in our lives that's something we can do. That's a proactive thing that you and I, as Christians, have every option to do. We can engage in that. And to not do so is very selfish, isn't it? Because it's withholding that, bringing that situation, those people to the Lord. You're withholding from them, and that's a very selfish thing to do. It's interesting because prayerlessness really is a sin. He says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to commit that kind of sin. And he calls it out specifically that way right here. I think that's interesting. And the Bible talks about this in other places, other situations. People that have been really used by the Lord are people who are people of prayer. There's just no getting around it. And again, whose will are we going to be saying we want to get done? It's not my will, right? It's God's will. We're looking for God to do the work. A couple of things you might note. That idea of selfishness is one of the things. Prayer also proves out your love for another person. It also proves that when you really care about other people, you're going to be praying for them. But you know what else it does? It also does something to change our hearts. Not only does it prove out the ones you do love, but the people that you may not have a heart for, you can't keep praying for them without ultimately developing a heart for them, a love for them. Pretty amazing. So the first one we noticed was, man, it's just a total display. A lack of is a display of our own selfishness. Prayer proves our love for others, and prayer produces love for others. It proves your love for those, but the ones you may not have a heart for yet, but God's put a heart, said, hey, I want you to pray for them. All of a sudden, it produces a love for them. You can't keep praying for people without, it's just something spectacular that happens. You just start getting a heart for people. That's an awesome truth. Pray for your enemies, Jesus said. Pray for them. Even those who spitefully mistreat you. Just pray for them. This is why. Because we're getting in contact with God's heart and God's heart for people. Prayer isn't just really accomplishing my purpose. It's me getting in contact with God. And the prayer really begins in the heart and the mind of the Lord. And then as I get in contact with the Lord, then all of a sudden I've been bringing things before the Lord, but then I'm starting to hear from God and he's starting to impress on my heart. When we start prayer on Tuesday morning, that's why I say what I say for the guys when you're around. This is why I say that. Lord, we ask that you would stir our hearts and mind and bring to remembrance those things closest to your heart, God. See, we want to pray in those things that are stirring in God's heart because that changes us. That changes our attitude of our world around us. It impacts then because now we're praying in the will of God because it begins in the heart of God. We comes down, God impresses us with that, and then we bring it back up to the Lord, and now cycle's complete. Starts with God. God impresses it on our hearts. It changes our hearts. We bring it back up to the Lord now, and now the cycle is complete. God's doing a thorough, full work. The next thing we notice, not only does it produce love for others, and there's no doubt about this, but true prayer creates really, or is a display also, and creates within us a humility. Because we really realize, man, we're powerless in so much of our circumstances. We're powerless. But we know the one who's able to do things, and we humble ourselves before the Lord. And to posture ourselves in a place of prayer brings us into a place of humility, saying, God, we know we can't figure everything out and that we're trusting you. And unfortunately, the flip side of that is also true. If it's not the priority, if it's not a priority in your life, if prayer is not the priority, it's the beginning statements of dangerous pride because it's making the statement that I can do just fine without you. It's the beginning of that cycle, that sin cycle that sets in. I can do fine without you, God. This is why I never worry when someone says, oh man, I'm just having a rough time. It's horrible. Gosh, basically all I can do is just pray and read my Bible. And I just think, praise God, you're going to be just fine. Sorry you got the problems, but you're going to be fine. I'm much more worried about the person that's just too busy. They're just too busy for God, too busy to pray, too busy to spend time with the Lord. I'm much more concerned about that. Because that's the beginning of a distantness that can set in and a self-reliance that's foolish. That last thought in this is that prayer really is, and no doubt, especially as we read this part of it, as he is an intercessor for the people, That's really a display of a disciplined prayer life, which is a mature prayer life. Someone who's really interested in interceding and praying for others and others' situations, and it's stepping in, standing in the gap, as it were, for others and their circumstances. Isn't it interesting what happened with Isaiah when he got in the presence of the Lord? And then while he's in the presence of the Lord, he recognized his own inadequacy and the inadequacy, the sin, his own sin, and the sin of the people that he lived with. That was one of the first things. First, he saw the glory of the Lord, and then he realized, hey, man, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. God got the tongs, sent the angelic being with the tongs, grabbed the coal off the altar, singed his lips. Now your lips have been seared, you know, it's been purged, basically, you know. And then while he's hanging out in the presence of the Lord, he overheard the triune Godhead. This is what it says, that he overheard us talking. And when he overheard, he said, who will we send? Who will go for us? And while he was there, he said, hey, heard you guys talking about this, man. I'll go. I'll do it. Isn't that great? And then he goes out, and then now he's a servant of God. He's doing what God's purpose for him to do. But it was through that time that he's spending, and he's interceding. He not only is concerned about his own sin, but he's concerned about the sin of the people that he dwells with. We've all missed it. And he wasn't just himself. It wasn't just self-absorbed. It was much bigger picture. And that's as we mature, as we grow. I think those are some important things to think about in our development, in our prayer life, in our experience. I think that process of thinking through, hey, is that happening that way for me? Now, in the latter part of verse 23, Samuel says, but I will teach you the good and right way. He says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider, or be thankful, for what great things he has done for you. Consider those things. Are you contemplating not what you want that you don't have, but are you seeing what God is doing today? That's so important for us as Christians, to see what God is doing today. But if you still do wickedly, you should be swept away, both you and your king. It's just gonna perish. It's gonna end up in nothingness. Everything is like that. Things that are done in the Lord are life, that they stand forever and ever because they're based on God's spirit at work, moving through his word, moving through his people. They stand forever. The things that are done in the flesh, you know what happens to them. They just burn in a fervent heat. And so we want to be a part of this. And the way for us to be a part of lasting things is being connected to God through prayer. So, so significant. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. You know, in the book of Acts, we learned a great little story. And I think about it sometimes when we wrap up a message like we did today, and how there's just a response that kind of stirs in us when we hear God's word. You know, there was a guy that was a Philippian jailer. He was just a jail guard, and he realized that the people that he was interacting with were worshiping God and connected with God. And his response when he interacted with these guys, he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. You know, God's got a plan and a purpose not only for you, but for your family, for your household, for your friends. But it begins with you giving your life to Jesus and getting right with God. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life, but never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you did give your life to Jesus, but you're not walking with him. Either way, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel message, the good news that God loves you and has a purpose and plan for your life. Anyway, God loves you, and it's a simple prayer of faith. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, God will forgive you of your sin if you will confess your sin. He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Let's pray that prayer right now. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin, that you'd come into my heart and make my heart your home. I want to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for everlasting life, and fill me with your Holy Spirit that my life might please you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.